I think you know it. I think you are aware of it. But as the Bible says, it's good for us to remind ourselves of these things. And if I can give a title to the message today, it is Running for the Next Generation. Amen. Running for the next generation. I'm sorry, I have a charismatic background and I really like to say amen. Yes. Huh? Yeah, but don't worry, I have an orthodox theology in terms of salvation and stuff. Eh? I'm just, I want to start with this statement. Our way of running now will have impact how the next generation will run their race of faith. I'll repeat it again. Our way of running now will have an impact in how the next generation will run their race of faith. And yes, I know, God can bring revival in whatever generation He wants to bring revival in His sovereignty. But it is our privilege, I think we are privileged, to walk in front of the generation to come. And we have choice to make a difference in our life that will impact the next generation. That's why our personal growth matters in this theme. Yes, we are running the race before God, but we remind ourselves that we are in a community, and in a community there are people who are watching, who are looking for something or for someone to rise, and I think all of us are called to be leader. You are leading in some area of your life, or you have to lead yourself also. So all of us are all leaders, and the generation after us are looking for leader that stand firm. Amen. Yes, it is a challenge. And there is a reminding question for myself. Personally, there is a reminding question that is, the question goes like this, is in my journey in this life, am I drawing the next generation closer to God? In my journey in this life, am I drawing the next generation to God? The evangelical world mourned about the death of Billy Graham just a few months ago. And on his day of death, the whole world was celebrating the life of that guy, that he has impacted thousands and millions of lives on this earth. And I think some of us, in some way, are inspired by the life of that guy, how he ran his race. And I think he set the bar too high, because preaching to 250 million people, that's quite a lot. But God has set a proper race for you to run. He is unique in His tribe as well as you. You are unique in your tribe, and you have your own race to run. Here at the beginning, I want to emphasize that God wants to speak to us personally. He wants to encourage us through the word today. And this word is not my word, it's His word. And I believe that He will speak to you, He will encourage you, He will refresh you. And take it as a challenge, as a refreshing challenge, not as a message of judgment or condemning you where you are at now. Amen. And my prayer today is, may His grace remain in our heart, and may our heart give Him room to do magnificent work in our lives. Amen. I would like us to read the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. If you can turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 till 17. You can use your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever to look for this scripture. I really like to read the scripture whenever I preach, in Malagasy especially, because this scripture is reminding us the work and the goal of the scripture, the word of God. I'll read it and let's read it together. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's read that together again. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. For what? For teaching. The second one, for reproof. Say it with me, please. The last one, the next one, for correction. The last one. And what is the goal? That the man of God may be complete. That you may be complete. That you and I may be complete. And that you and I may be equipped for every good work. I hope that the message of today will do good to us as a body of Christ and will help us to run the race set for us well. Now I want us to read a passage of scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 till 8. It is a well-known scripture, and let's read it together. In the presence of God, I'll repeat again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 till 8. In the presence of God and of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of the season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure the hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And I want to hammer more about the verse that says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness judge, will award to me on that day. Okay, we hear this passage of scripture in what, mostly? Yes, louder, please. Funerals, yes, I like it when it is more interactive, so please help me, okay? We hear that in funerals or in a Christian death notice, especially for the Malagasy. Eh? We like to write that on the death notice, like, okay, he has fought his fight and finished his race and so on. But today, this passage of scripture is wanting to give us a refreshing challenge. Paul is addressing to Timothy, his son in the Lord. And in his last writing to Timothy, and this is the last write that his last writing to Timothy, he felt that the time has come and it's time to write a kind of testament to Timothy or a last will to Timothy. And I believe when you write your final will or your last will, you'll not write nonsense, okay? Right? You'll write the most important thing in your entire life and transmit it to by the writing that you are writing on that testament. And I believe that Timothy, when he read this letter to him, for him, he was really serious, considering in what Paul is saying, because it is his last writing. He's not leaving an earthly heritage, but something more valuable. He's talking about his race, Paul's fight, and he is talking and setting the bar a bit high by saying he finished it well. What he is living for, that young guy, his protege, his co-heir in Christ, is an inspiration. Inspiration is a great legacy that you and I can leave for the next generation. And there is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And this question should remain while we are living on this earth. In my life, is there something in the area am I inspiring, at least in one area of my life, that when I go home or pass away, either my children or my younger brothers in Christ want to keep on doing it when I pass away? In my speech, in my faith, in my integrity, in my marriage, am I leaving a good legacy, an inspiration for the next generation? Earlier in his letter to Timothy, Paul encouraged him to be an inspiration or an example to others. We can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to till 12. He said, be a good example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So in his previous letter, he told Timothy to be focused on this thing and do what he can to be an example. And then in his second letter, he is reminding what he should do. It is to run the race well. It is to fight the good fight. And it is to finish well. What I am leaving for the next generation. How you and I run on this race matter a lot. Otherwise, the concept of, not a concept, but it is the truth, that God will reward us after running in this life. Otherwise, that reward in heaven is meaningless. So better for us to run well our race. I want to leave the example of Timothy and Paul and move forward with another example. An example that we will see in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 till 14. And in that, I really want someone to help me to read that passage of Scripture. This is speaking about Elijah and Elisha. Am I having it right, the name? Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was a personal assistant, or the Bible described him as the servant of Elijah. And he have seen how God worked in the life of Elijah and through the life of Elijah. So if someone is there, already there, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 till 14, then I would like that person to read that loud for us. Yes, there is a microphone here. So, yeah. Who is ready to read for me? For us? Who is there? Okay, my English is not perfect, so you can do it. Okay, read my wife. Okay, go for it. Go for it. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 till 14. And I want us to be attentive while listening or reading through this. Yeah. Yes. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 till 14. Hey.
When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets and Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise I will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. "To the right and to the left," and he crossed over.
Thank you. Here we see friendship of Elijah and Elisha, and he is about to go also to be taken up to heaven because he didn't taste death as most of human. So in the part where he took his jacket and separated the river into two, there are just in while that story is happening, there are three miracles that happened. The river that was separated right after that, the Lord took Elijah, and right after that, he received, Elisha received the double portion, and there was a miracle. He did the same thing again, and the river was separated into two, and he walked in dry land. What I want to emphasize here, I want to go straight away to the points that I want to address. I have 4 or 5 points. Remember, I want to remind us that the title of this message today is Running for the Next Generation. So, few points to help us in our race, and I believe will impact the next generation. First, I believe there is two examples, either Paul or Elijah. They love the Lord passionately and constantly. My first point here is for you, in order to leave a good legacy that inspire the next generation. Love God with all of your heart, passionately and constantly. Yes, God commanded us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to make it short, with everything that we are. Doesn't mean that we will not face low moments in our lives. Yes, those difficulties will appear here and then. But our love can be consistent. Our love for God can be consistent. I want to read from my notes here. It doesn't mean that you will never face low moments in your life. Yes, difficulties will pass, but let your love remain the same. And please do not do it just for the sake of the next generation or just to be an inspiration. Do it because you have a deep understanding of an unshakable love of God and you got a full comprehension of His grace to help you out. Your passion for God, my passion for God, will always inspire a generation after us. I believe in that. If you love God constantly and passionately, people will see that. The generation after you, your sons and daughters, your brothers and sisters in the faith will see that and will get inspired, and they will say, I want to be like that guy. I want to follow God hard like that guy or like that lady. Second point, keep your heart burning for the lost and reaching out to them. I think we have that in our conscience that we are here to reach out and to fulfill the commandment or the great commission. Yeah, thank you for your help. If we have that in our heart, in our conscience, and that will be the vehicle of our walk or our race to God, I think that will inspire people. That will inspire the next generation. And I think in that, there is obedience. And obedience is a healthy sign that you are walking the right, what is it? The right race for you. And that can be a lesson of obedience for the next generation to love God firstly and to love the lost and reaching out to them. Next point. From the story of Elisha and Elijah, there must be something stronger than just a mere functional relationship between them. That he won't allow Elijah to leave the earth without his presence. So he insists that he will be there when he is leaving. So I think there is something more than just practical, more than just functional. There must be a relationship. So in the generation, in the people that you have, you can have influence. We can build that. You can build more than just a functional, like you just tell him, like, this is what you do, and then you will grow. And then without having a strong relationship with the guy or with the girl or with someone that is the generation to come. We need to build with love and with relational. I think that will do something in the heart of the generation to come. Because he feels like, okay, so this is how it works. I want to run harder than this guy because I can see the relation in this. I can see the love. I can see that he really wants the next generation, me, to grow and do something that better than he did it. Next one. From that story of Elijah and Elisha, I think we can see that there was personal testimony of God's hand at work in the life of Elijah. And all of us, I believe, we are longing for that. That in our life, at least once, but I think you have already seen God's hand at work in your life, and there are plenty of them. But can we have that heart to desire God to work tremendously in an amazing way, do something miraculous for us to tell to the next generation that God has done such and such thing in my life or in the life of this community or in the life of the church? And then they will get inspired more and more that this God is an amazing God. Amen. My last one. This last one is the easiest, but the most important. We are always complaining, like, this generation, they are whatever. You know it, you can tell me. But my final point is for us to pray for the next generation, that God will move far more than ever before in our lives, in the previous generation, that God will revive, that they will see revival in their lifetime. We need to pray for that. I want to pray that for my kids, that in their lifetime they will see God at work doing something miraculous. And that, yeah, that God will revive them. Amen. I want to end this sharing or this preaching with this quote. Listen well. We praise the past when the future looks or seems dry. We praise the past when the future looks or seems dry. I know that in this church, greater things are yet to come. Amen. We will not praise the past and not say 20 years from now, like, man, I remember in 2018. It was the good time. It was the best time. No. We pray and we hope that in this church, greater things are yet to come. Amen. Let's pray that God, and let's pray and trust God for greater things to come for the next generation. I want to encourage you. Maybe you have messed up in some ways. Maybe you have failed in some ways in your race. But today God is telling you, my grace is sufficient for you. You can do better. You can do it well. And you can say like Paul said, I finished it well. And I hope all of us will be an inspiration for the next generation to come, and we will not praise the future. We will get excited for what is ahead. Amen. So why not standing, and let's stand and let's pray for and ask from God for you to run better. I've given you a few points that can help you out. But let's ask God and tell God, God, I want to finish well. I want to finish well and strong. And I want to be an inspiration for the generation to come. And I want to impact them right now. Now that I am alive, now that I can do something, I want even my own children to be inspired by my race, by my walk with you. Let's pray. Let's all pray together, not only me. Let's all pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for your word, and I hope that it was a refreshing and challenging, but refreshing, Lord. And I pray for me and for this church, Lord, for all of us, for the race that you set for us, that we will run the race in a better way from now and then, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit, that you will pour out your grace for us to do it in a better way, Lord, to inspire the next generation. Lord, we trust you for more things, greater things. We don't want to praise the past. We want to be excited for what is laying ahead. Lord, for your glory, do something amazing. And Lord, we entrust the next generation into your hand. That it will not be a dry generation or a dead generation, but it will bring the fire, it will bring the life in this church, in this community, in this nation, Lord, in this city. For your glory, Jesus. Amen.